Welcome to another Crittenden Press online podcast. I'm your host, Chris Evans. Let's get right to the show. Welcome to the Rocket Postgame Report. This will be our last one of the season as Crittenden County's 2011 campaign comes to an end at Hancock County in overtime. 27-21, the Rockets lose to Hancock County. Coach Starnes, it was a somewhat of a Cinderella bid when you look at how the season had gone for us to go to Hancock County. They were a higher seed than we were, and nobody really gave us a chance to do very well at all. And really, your guys dominated the first half. Looked like you might have it in the bag, but then the home team prevailed in this one. It was their third overtime of this season, and they finally won one. They had lost the first two.
Yeah, Chris, you have to give credit to Hancock for coming back like they did. They didn't drag their heads. They could have, and we just didn't finish, and we could have finished the ball game. We just didn't score in the first half. The second time we got a penalty there, it was called back. We couldn't punch it in the end of the first half to make them go down by two scores. And I really think that was a big difference of the ball game. But, it's to sum it up, it's just like the coach said to us after the ball game that, he felt like that we really beat them. He told us that we beat them up. They just happened to win the ball game. And, that just says a lot for our kids, and we're very proud of them. The season that we had to endure, the challenges that we faced, the hurdles we had to climb, it was really and a very interesting year, and then to go out like that, and the kids didn't have anything that they really needed to play for and play hard except for pride. And we've been doing that all year, and we've been playing with pride that way as far as playing hard, whoever's on the field, and we're very proud of them.
There are a lot of things in this game which you could call a turning point. You start off in the first half, you go for a fourth down and get it, and that was a big play. I believe it's fourth down, and was it fourth and one and got it? Then was it another fourth down you went for it and got it? Fourth and nine, wasn't it?
Around midfield. I can't remember
it was,
that.
I told Andy Hunt, we were standing on the sideline, and I said, I can't believe he's going for that. They're just going to do a hard count. And I said, then you lined up and you snapped the ball, and I said, that's a bad idea. And you got the first down, and Andy Hunt said, you want to correct that? That's a good idea.
A lot of times, you go by feel and what it is, and we knew what they were going to do, and they solidified that by lining up to our formations the way that we thought that they were going to line up. And so it was just a matter of executing. We knew we had it. We had two or three guys that were reacting to what they were going to do because they were playing games with their defensive ends and inside linebackers trying to confuse us. So what we did is we ran hot routes off of what they did. And so that's what we ran most of the night. There at the end, it was really my fault in overtime, and I didn't come up with a play to score, and should have realized that they were going to tighten down, and I didn't think that I put our kids in the best situation there in overtime.
They did. Hancock County seemed like there at the end, and it goes back to what I believe was it was their third overtime of the season. They were playing at home. Their fans were breathing down your necks over there on the side. And they had a lot of support there, and I think that makes a difference. And whereas, we had hardly anybody there. There was hardly anybody wearing blue, and it's one of those things, kind of disappointing. You go to the playoffs. There's a lot of schools that don't go to the playoffs. And we get there and just don't have a very meager turnout other than a few parents and some of the diehard fans. And Hancock County did have the support, and I think that makes a difference when you get in the emotional and again, of a game, a long game like that?
Yeah, it makes a big difference when, as a player and a coach, when you can hear the fans yelling and supporting you, and you're right, because I happen to hear their fans yelling at us, albeit they were just directly behind us in the fence, but I heard them yelling for them, and they had all the momentum. They had to play from behind and play catch up. Mm-hmm. They had to score and get a 2-point conversion to tie it up. So, I mean, we had our chances. We just didn't convert them. And it would have been a great win for us. But going to a place like Hancock and coming away with a win is virtually hard to do. But the kids played hard, and it was real close, and we almost pulled it off. And it would have been a great win for us because of the things that we had to deal with, the suspensions that we had and stuff like that. And it really affected us more than what people really know when we have suspensions and injuries and stuff like that. You know, it kind of affects the character and the image of the team. And we just had to play hard every week, and we had to overcome a lot of things. And I'm very proud of the kids for doing that.
Whenever Hancock County scored there in a fourth quarter to pull within two, and they got that conversion run, the Hubbard boy ran the conversion, got it, dove over the top of Dustin Hernandez, who hit him low, and he just kind of went up and over him. And I feel like that really gave them a sense of momentum that carried them into the overtime, and I think that was a big turning point, too, in the game.
Well, I mean, you go back and it starts in the first half. We really dominated them in the first half. They weren't able to get anything going. Well, you come out the second half and they take the opening drive and take it down and score.
And almost got that ball on the kickoff.
If we'd have gotten that ball, I mean, it could have been a different thing. And we had a chance to get it. So we had our chances. But they either figured it out, what we were doing, or challenged the kids and they buckled down, or whatever the case was, or we got worn out. Whatever the case was, I felt like after they scored and tied it up, if we didn't score, and the situation was, they had the ball late in the game in regulation, and they were moving, and so it's a matter of whether or not that I call timeout to try to preserve time for us to get the ball, or as one coach was trying to get me to call a timeout. I just felt like that we needed to make sure that we didn't want them to set up a play, and they when it's fourth down, we didn't want them to set up. I didn't want them to be able to have time to set up a play, and then get the ball and score in regulation and not have a chance. So we had our chances, and it just once they scored and tied it up, I just felt like that they had all the confidence in the world.
Yeah, and Hancock County had a terrific opportunity there with a couple of minutes left in the ball game. Got the ball back, and your guys really put it on. You have to give credit. Stephon Cozart and Bobby Knox really stepped up, made a couple of big plays on that series, and gave us the ball back with a minute left, and we had a shot. And your guys moved it down the field. Got it all the way down to the somewhere around the 19 or 20 yard line.
But we had it down, and my thing, we got a sack there, and that's what hurt us. We were trying to get it down to give Micah Holloman a shot to win the ball game in regulation, and so we didn't go into overtime. But I have to give credit to Wes Evers. He was a big part of our game plan, depending on emotion, and he came up big. And he had four tackles and four assists. So, I mean, he played well. Bobby Knox did an outstanding job. Stephon Cozart, he was a lineman of the week, did a great job. Bobby Knox was a defensive player of the week and just did an outstanding job. Devin Clark, I thought, played well up front, and we had to move him to defensive line as far as moving inside because he had to play tackle in the absence of Eli. We had to move Bobby to defensive end. We had to move Bryce Willis to defensive end because we were shorthanded. So, and Brendan Phillips, I felt like, he played one of his better games and played with a lot more emotion and intensity than I've seen him play in a long time. And hopefully that's going to spark him for next year as he becomes a junior for this program.
I got to give a little shout out here to Devin Clark. He was an Iron Man. He played in that football game, which I know you guys didn't get back till around 1 o'clock in the morning. And at 8 a.m., he was out at the Marion Crittenden County Park and ran in a 5K race and finished 16th overall and won his age division. So
he's a super kid. I mean, he works hard at what he does, and he cares about what he does.
That says a lot about his heart and desire to do something, though. You know, you mentioned Bryce Willis on offense. This was the best game Bryce has had thrown a football all season long, threw for 193 yards, completed 14 of 22 passes, and one interception, but, you know, it was basically a punt, you know, on that one. It was just, you guys threw it deep, so it wasn't. It was no harm on that one particularly. It was a good game for Bryce, and Bryce has played a lot of positions this season. I know he stepped up to the call a lot of times in different positions when you guys need him. He just really hadn't had an opportunity to get too comfortable anywhere.
No, you know, he really hasn't. And you got to take your hat off to him. He's Mr. Versatility and able to play any position we asked him to play. And it shows his character, what he wants to do for the team. And, you know, just whatever it is that he needs to be done, we asked him to do it. And he did it, and he never complained about it. You know, some people, the ego as starting quarterback might have gotten away, and when we told him to go to receiver against Paducah Tillman or running back versus Ballard. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing what we had to ask him to do and what he played. And, you know, I joked with him at one time, you know, told him if he turned his shirt inside out, it'd be 53 instead of 35. And then he can play guard and offensive line. So, I mean, he just did an outstanding job this year, and I'm very proud of Bryce.
Well, you know, he came into this game, had completed 19 of 46 passes all season long now, for 142 yards. So he more than doubled his output here in one single game. And you guys, you know, the pass really hurt Hancock. And you guys, mostly just the screens and then let these guys run after they got the ball.
Yeah, and again, it was, you know, it's what we've been doing all year. You try to take advantage of what they give you, and that's what they were giving us. And Bryce did a great job of reading it because our receiver and quarterback had to be on the same page because we were reading what they did. And if they stunted the defensive end, then we were getting the ball to Grant as quickly as possible. It's a hot route. If they stunted the inside linebacker, we were going to get the ball to Bobby as quickly as possible. So they were stunting the defensive end quite a bit, and so we were getting the ball to Grant. And we knew that they were going to leave Grant uncovered, so we were looking at throwing screens to number two receiver, which is Grant, because he was uncovered. So that's what our game plan was. And then try to get them running back and forth. And you know, I've had some people say that we're better off in the eye, run the eye and stuff like that, that's what they felt like that our strong suit was. But, you know, the problem with that is you don't dictate what defense that you're going to see. We knew what defense that they were going to run in a spread. So, we can tell the guys where to go, where to block, and who's going to do what. And that's why we were having some success. It's just, you know, there at the end, I really think that their defense kind of beat us up a little bit, and we got a little tired, and we didn't execute the way that we should have executed late in the ball game. So, but we had our chance, and that's what we could ask for, and I'm very proud of these guys, and really felt like the way we played Friday night was the way that we were capable of playing all year long when we had everybody there. And you know, that's what we were expecting going into this year with the tough schedule and moving up in the district. You know, we have it in us, and we'll have it in us next year. Hopefully this is a catapult to the season for next year because talking to Vince and talking to some others, you know, about last year's a playoff game versus this year's playoff game. We've made some strides. We've gotten better, and now we need to get this program back to where we expect it to be.
You know, it's probably the best 3-8 football team I've ever seen Crittenden County put on a football field. I mean, we played some tough. You know, if we play a normal schedule like we have in the past, we probably come out of this season, you know, 6 or 7 wins. You know, this time we played a much tougher schedule, and this is, you know, these guys in 10 or 15 years we're going to look back and say, oh, that must have been a pitiful year, but, you know, this is a good football team.
Yeah, and very capable of being a good football team, as we showed against Hancock, and that's why, you know, Chris, as a coach, it was, you know, we wanted it for the players. We wanted to win this ball game for the players, so later on they could see that they weren't bad. They weren't bad at all. We had to go overcome a lot of things, and this just would have made sure that we were okay. It would have gone a long way for that, you know, that ego and memories and stuff like that. And now we can just say that we were close, and we were close. Mm-hmm. We actually dominated a very good physical ball club.
You know, going over some of the statistics and looking forward to next year, your leading rusher this season, Grant Gardner, who had 600 yards rushing, will be back. Your leading passer this year, Travis Gilbert, will be back. Your leading top two or three defensive players, you know, will be back. Your guys who led, Bobby Knox at 70, right at 80 total tackles this year. Stephon Cozart, you know, went into this last game with 60. Devin Clark will be back. He's the number three tackler on the season. Eli Bebout is right down the list there. And, you know, so we've Grant Gardner's next. So, you know, everybody that really played a big, big role this season, or not everybody, but, you know, a good percentage of the guys will be back. So that's something that's really encouraging. We got the tough schedule again. And I don't think next year, you know, Tillman's going to be a tough team. Madisonville, I don't think they'll have quite what they had this year. And some of these other teams, you know, might be an opportunity for us to maybe seek a little bit of revenge. And
well, Chris, I mean, you know, certainly, you know, we're going into the season for next year looking at it like that for revenge. And we just have to improve on this year, and that's what we want to do. But, you know, I don't want to give anybody an impression that we're glad that these seniors are gone or it's over with, because we're going to miss these guys. And they contributed to this program for a while and have done what they could do in order to maintain that high level of expectation. We just ran into some injuries and some things that happened that didn't get us to where we wanted to be, and it didn't help that that we had some teams to drop us, and we also had been placed into a higher district in a 2A higher classification. But I can say that we are excited about these guys, the juniors coming back. The thing that I want them to understand is, you know, if they don't come back as leaders and they don't prepare, then we're in for the same type of season that we were this year. That they have got to prepare for it. They've got to understand what their role is. They're going to be leaders, and they need to lead in a positive way. That means that they have to lead in practice. They have to be positive role models in practice, just like they do the game. They have to be positive role models in the classroom, just like they would be on the football field. And they're going to have to be positive role models in the community, just like they should be in the classroom. So it just can't be one or the other. It has to be all of them. They have to be positive role models for our kids to see, for young kids to see. And if they do that, then I think we'll be okay, because I saw some passion and some excitement from some kids like Grant Gardner and Stephon Cozart this Friday night that I hadn't seen in a while and that I haven't seen before. And they're going to have to take that and understand that they have to build on from there. And we have to make sure that they understand that. And as a coaching staff, we're going to do that and make sure. We've already talked to them about what they need to do to be leaders, and they're going to have to go out and do that. Now, if they make the right choices and they make the choice to become a leader, then we're going to help them in how to become a leader and how to do it. And we just expect our leaders and our football players to act a certain way as something that's positive for this program and not in a negative way. So any negative light that shined on this program hurts us, and we don't need anything to hurt us coming off of a 3-8 season.
Well, I know it's been a little bit frustrating for you this year, but this team was exciting to watch. There's many of these are great, great, great boys. We're going to miss, like you say, these seniors. And, you know, every year it's hard to say goodbye to one group. But then, you know, you always have hope for the next year. And this is these juniors are the ones that we've been looking at for a long time that we thought was going to be a special senior class. So I'm like you. Hopefully it all pans out. And
you know, I just have to say I'm very proud of, you know, kids like Elliot Day who played the last two games he's a senior that didn't get much playing time all the way through, and he was able to come in and start the last two games. He's going to have memories like that, you know. Corey Mays that bought his time, a senior that didn't play very much at all and came in and really came in because of injury to Devin Wallace, and he's played outstanding, three or four or five ball games. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just amazing to see those guys that you don't expect to, that's what you're proud of. That's what guys that because what we do on a practice field and the heat and stuff, and if you don't get the playing time, then it's like, why do it? Why even try? But it's because that they made a commitment, they're part of a team, and they're going to have memories later on because they were in that team. And so they were able to start their senior year, and that'll go a long way as they get older, and they'll understand that. So, you know, I'm proud of those guys. It means a lot. Chambliss, Austin Chambliss.
He was as upset after that game the other night as anybody out there. You know, I've met him coming across the field, and he was torn up.
Yeah.
He seldom gets on the field.
It's the realization that, you know, it's over with. And, you know, the good thing about Austin is we started him in senior night on kickoff and kickoff return, and you know, it reminds me of the reason why I go into coaching, to see the what it means to the kids. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And when we called him out there to start on the team, he smiled, and he hasn't stopped smiling, and we kept him on kickoff team and started him in the playoff game, and you know, that's what it's all about, and that's what I'm proud of. Kids that stick it out, come back, you know, play, even though they don't get the glory, the playing time, their name called and stuff like that. It just means stuff to them. So, and it means a lot to me to see those guys.
Yeah. All right, Coach Starnes, weather the off season well, and let's get behind Dennis Hodges and his basketball program.
Basketball time now. Let's go, Coach Hodges. Boys and girls, it's time to get out there. Come to the concession stand, buy some popcorn.
Yeah, all right. We're signing off for the last time in 2011. We have high hopes for 12.